to Everybody A, Everybody Gay,
a queer exploration of Pretty Little Liars.
With your host, Speak Pirate, aka Joanna. I'm here, I'm queer, and I have a cat named Spencer.
And your other host, LCO123, aka Vina, a proud member of the Church of Vander Jesus.
Tonight, we are talking about headcanons, all about what we think are the futures, the favorites, the traumas of Pretty Little Liars.
Futures, favorites, and traumas. That about sums it up. Yeah, we're going to, we've been kind of talking about like doing kind of a headcanon roundup for a while. And then we had a listener who wrote in and sort of asked about like almost a Liar's DNA type episode. Like, what are just some random ideas about like what the Liars might like or what, you know, different thoughts about who they are. And so we decided to kind of mix that up and do just sort of a hodgepodge grab bag episode of just like random ideas that we have about these characters that canon doesn't necessarily provide the answers to, but we can believe in our hearts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we definitely have our own answers, as always.
Absolutely. And one thing that I wanted to kind of start off with, as I was starting to make my notes for this episode, I was aware of how much it was sort of this chicken egg thing of like, is this the character themselves or is this the character's reaction to the trauma? And where does that start and where does that end? And so I wondered if we could talk a little bit about like, how much are the Liars shaped by what's happened to them? And how much does the trauma sort of inform who they are as people?
Oh, that's such an interesting question. I definitely think that there are large parts of the Liars that are always going to be informed by their trauma and hopefully later their recovery from the trauma.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely think that Emily's fear of commitment is definitely like rooted in some PTSD. I definitely think that like some of Spencer's behaviors and relationships, you know, same.
Yeah.
And just when you say like the trauma bond is like kind of what keeps a lot of the OTP couples together. So, I mean, I think that a lot of their relationship decisions specifically are definitely trauma informed. But I would also like to think that like who the Liars are at their core is like somewhat immutable. Like they, you know, they can change, they can grow. But I think a lot of like what is like the DNA of Spencer is set from like the pilot onward, like from the trajectory of like growing up in the Hastings family, growing up in the shadow of Melissa, like, you know, and all of the things that happened to her later, like she responds to like as this Hastings and as this like hybrid Drake Hastings later on.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree. I think that it's, I was finding myself thinking about the scene in, I believe it's in Hit and Run, 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 when Spencer's gotten drunk at the bar and Emily has to bring her back. And Spencer is kind of talking about like who she was in the time apart. She talks about, you know, I let myself be tagged in photos. I let myself, you know, I think, I can't remember everything she says, but it's like all these things that she's deemed as sort of like normal behaviors that she's allowed herself to indulge in. And of course, followed up by the fear that like now that life is no longer accessible to her. And I think that that's interesting from the standpoint of like the Rosewood effect, right? That like when the Liars come back to Rosewood, they are falling into back into a lot of these old patterns. And yet, we are really only ever seeing them in Rosewood. You know, we see very little of their lives outside of Rosewood. Just, you know, the random flashback, or if you're Emily, zero flashback. And so it's interesting from the standpoint of like, are we seeing sort of the pattern or the exception in terms of the Liars as adults? And I think that a lot of what they end up grappling with the longer that they stay in Rosewood post time jump is like, oh, this isn't just I'm going home for a week and then I'm going to come back to my regular life. Like now this has kind of become my regular life. And I really wish ultimately that the time jump had like grappled with that a little bit more rather than just sort of lazily being like, well, I guess they all live in Lucas's loft now. Don't ask why. But I do think that it's felt in certain behaviors. I think definitely Allison is a character who feels like she's changed for a lot of reasons, but like somewhat informed by the trauma that she's gone through. And like, you know, Arya as a character is someone who I think actually gets stronger because she's sort of able to be the person who says, like, let's put an end to some of these cycles. Of course, less strong when it comes to her marrying Fitz, but
I don't know
about how that goes.
When you think about, like, is it the liar or is it the response to trauma? I think one of the, like, unknowables in the universe of PLL is, like, what would Arya's life be like if she had not become involved with Prezra Fitz? Like,
yes.
What would her development as a character have looked like? What would her, like, development as a person have looked like? What, you know, I think that is a fascinating thing to think about. And unfortunately, we're just never going to know because that creepy creep got in there right in the pilot, never let out.
Yeah, stayed there till the end of the finale, unfortunately. Alex Drake tried to rid us all of him, but it didn't quite work out.
If only.
So should we jump in with some headcanon, some thoughts?
Yeah, I would love to.
Okay, well, I did a quick little headcanon of who I imagine some of the Liar's favorite singers would be. And these are not necessarily, like, this was very first thought, best thought. So okay. We'll see, you know, and I could see arguments for and against some of these. But I think that Spencer, particularly like adult Spencer, maybe like figuring out her sexuality Spencer, I think she'd really love Brandi Carlile. I think she'd be drawn to the sort of the roughness and the sort of almost like out of controlness sound of Brandi Carlile, I think would really appeal to Spencer, who I think is always grappling with control. I don't really listen to Phoebe Bridgers, but that feels like somebody that Spencer would listen to as well. Emily, I'm going to say Janelle Monáe and Beyoncé feel like they'd be two that she'd love. We know she loves Beyoncé.
Beyoncé, yeah, maybe a little too much. That's canon, so yes.
That is canon. That is canon.
I agree there.
Yeah, and I feel like Emily is somebody who, like, she likes more upbeat music, you know, stuff she can run to, stuff she can be in the pool to, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Hannah, I think Hannah really, like, loves her pop girlies. I think that probably Carly Rae Jepsen is a favorite for her. Maybe Ariana Grande.
The Biebs.
God, I forgot about that. That scene where they say the Biebs like 10 times in 2 minutes. You don't care about the Biebs.
You eternally sunshine that out of your mind because it is like, yeah.
Oh my God. It's so horrible. Well, and it's sort of canon that she likes Ariana Grande because Ariana Grande sings Bang Bang.
Right.
So, Aria, I think, is all about sort of more alternative, like very feelings forward singers. So I think Lorde and Florence and the Machine would both really appeal to her. Mm-hmm. I'd say like Lorde, like when it's like younger Aria, and like Florence and the Machine when it's like slightly older Aria. Allie is an interesting case because I think that she has like the music that she might admit listening to and then the music that she would actually listen to. I think she'd be drawn to like some early Chicks music, like that kind of the wistfulness. I could definitely hear her like enjoying like Wide Open Spaces and some of those. I think she'd like Kacey Musgraves. I think she'd sort of act like Lana Del Rey was her favorite singer at some point. But I also think she'd be drawn to like the angsty queer energy of Zolita. Somebody that I've been listening to a lot.
I like the idea of Allison listening to like some early Chicks, like the whole like, you know, kind of stuck in your town, like your small town going nowhere, like that definitely kind of feels like that feels like an Allie vibe in the later seasons for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. Anything that's like sort of more on the wistful side, I think Allie would connect with in a way. Because I think that with Allie, there, like, so much of her character is about, like, the experiences that she feels like she's missed out on, you know?
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. I would also say that I think that Arya probably has to, like, pretend to have an interest in a lot of bands that Prezra likes.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I think that that is very true. Like, he'll come up with some, like, obscure 90s band, and she's like, oh, yeah, that's, I love them.
Yeah. Or, like, like, the you know, some, like, jazz combo that he always wants them to, like, go see at a festival or something. Like, I picture, like, Arya having to kind of put up with a lot of that behavior.
I think you're right. I think you're like slam poetry over, like, smooth jazz kind of thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Mona, I think, would love Taylor Swift, because I feel like Mona is somebody who, like, really gets into the lyrics, and Taylor feels everything so deeply, and so does Mona. I also think that she would really like Etta James. I know that's kind of an older one, but I feel like the heartbreak in Etta James's voice would really appeal to Mona.
I can go with that. I also think that Mona and Arya probably have listened to Amy Winehouse a lot.
I think
Back in Black, I think that that is probably, whether or not they would talk to it about it with each other, I think that that is something that they would be into. I'm also going to say that Arya and Spencer would share the Phoebe Bridgers.
Yes.
The love of that type of music. And I'm also going to say that I think that Hannah's bisexual awakening period, we could have, like, that soundtrack be Miley Cyrus.
Ooh, I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Also, I think Mona would really like Edith Piaf.
Ooh, oh, for sure. And I'm actually going to say Mona and Spencer.
And Spencer. And maybe even Arya. Arya would pretend to like Edith Piaf, maybe.
I mean, I'm gonna say also Emerson, because it's very Parisian.
This is
Sparrow.
True. Yeah, for sure, for sure. Also, just listeners, apologies. There's some construction going on in my alley. So if you're hearing that, nobody's, like, coming through to kill me. It's just construction.
Oh, good.
So I also, one of the questions that we got was, what are the Liar's favorite colors? This is another one where I just sort of went first thought, best thought. I said Arya is probably either black or fuchsia. Spencer, I think, is either red or navy blue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hannah, I said either, like, a silver or, like, sort of like a buttery, sunny yellow. Emily, this feels the most obvious, like an ocean blue.
Mm-hmm.
I think Allie would be like a dusky rose. And Mona, I think, would really love like a royal sort of emerald green.
Ooh, interesting. I think Spencer navy all the way.
Navy. Yeah.
You know, conservative, kind of preppy. Like, I also feel like white is like a
yes.
kind of like, you know, the summering in the Hamptons or on Martha's Vineyard kind of.
Yes.
You know, so yeah, I picture her like kind of in a Ralph Lauren ad, like a lot of white with like a navy sweater kind of tied around.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Tied around her shoulders. Like, so yeah, I think Spencer, like, navy, white. I also think that Hannah, gold or like bright yellow, 100% agree with that. Emily, yes, ocean blue, aquamarine. Arya, I don't think Arya's favorite color is a color. I think Arya's favorite color is print.
That is so, fair.
Like, and then Mona, it's interesting you say green. I can see green, but I think Mona is red. I think.
Red. Yeah.
I think, yeah.
I do. Yeah. I think that works. I can also see like a sort of royal purple.
You know, there are so many facets of Mona. Mona might not have just one favorite color. It might kind of change depending on, like, her mood of the day. Or it might be like the color of Hannah's hair / eyes.
Yes, it might be. It's funny, when I was thinking about Mona, part of why I went with green is I was thinking about Mona in the hole in the dollhouse, and how that was such a like dark, depressing sort of, you know, the cement so far from nature, they have no access to the outside. And I was thinking about her like coming out of that and just wanting to be around greenery and lush, yeah, and all of that. So yeah, but I also think, I think red, I think purple, I think Hannah, I think all of those could be favorite colors of Mona's.
Maybe what we're really saying is Mona's favorite color is rainbow.
Yeah, well, of course, naturally. So this was fun. One of the questions was their favorite TV show. I said, for Spencer, I said Killing Eve.
Oh, man, that is so on the nose, yes.
I think she'd really be drawn to the cat and mouse game. For Aria, I said Fleabag. For Emily, I said Friday Night Lights.
Hmm.
For Hannah, I said, I think when she's in the mood for a drama, it's more Grey's Anatomy. And then but I also think she likes New Girl. For Mona, I have two really opposite sides of the spectrum, but I have reasons for both. I think Mona would love Parks and Recreation because I think she would relate to Leslie Knope feeling like she is the only person who's ever capable of getting anything done. And I think that the sort of support that Leslie experiences ultimately on that show would be sort of like Mona's fantasy. I also think she'd love Yellow Jackets because, I mean, anybody who's seen Yellow Jackets, there is a character on that show, Christina Ricci's character, who is essentially Mona. So I think she'd love that show. And then for Allie, I think she would really enjoy The Real Housewives because I think the like unreality of that would feel sort of familiar to Allie in a way that she would find kind of comforting.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that a lot. I'm also going to say that I think Spencer, and this might be a Spencer and Melissa favorite show, I think they would be very into The Americans.
Oh yeah, for sure.
The tension, the family drama, like the interest, the shared interest in Russian history. I feel like The Americans would be one that they would be very into. And for The Real Housewives, I feel like that is something that Allison and Emily and Hannah might all be interested in watching together.
I agree. I also think that, like, I feel like Spencer, like, has, like, a guilty pleasure show that's something, like, very schlocky and romantic. I don't know what it would be, but I think she does. Oh, I also think Emily would like One Day at a Time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
And yeah. Emily is really into, like, horror movies, so I could actually see Emily being into, like, some of the Ryan Murphy, like, American Horror Story, like, part 2613 or whatever, you know, like, just whatever.
For sure.
Now, I could see, because those are always, like, somewhat queer and, like, generally star Sarah Paulson. So I could see Emily being, like, I've never watched one, but that's my impression of them. Mass media. But that, I think Emily could definitely be into that.
Yeah. I think you're totally right. The reason that I said Fleabag for Aria is that I think that's an answer that would make Aria feel sort of smart, because it's, you know, it's British and it's also a great show. But also, I think she would be extremely into the forbidden romance between Fleabag and Hot Priest in season two and project all of her Prezra feelings onto that.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I also think that, like, Aria, like, in her heart, like, Aria kind of likes, you know, a good screwball romance.
Yeah.
So I feel like she also might be into, like, you know, just, like, a comedy that has, like, a good will they or won't they. Like, Abbott Elementary, for example.
Sure.
I could see her being into that.
Yeah. I like the idea that Aria secretly is, like, secretly, Aria's favorite show is, like, Friends. But,
yeah!
Like, because it's, like, the most...
That. Yeah.
It's, like, the most basic choice ever. She's, like, you know, I really like Seinfeld, you guys, but it's like she can't tell anybody because it's like, or like Frasier or something. Like she's just like some like old sitcom that is just like considered super basic, but Arya's like, I just love it. Or it's like what she watches when she has the flu or something.
Or when she's being poisoned by her dad's girlfriend.
Yes.
As the case may be.
Oh, she would love Ross and Rachel, though. She would love that long romance. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I could also see, like, I could see Arya getting, like, really into, like, just, like, the most obscure television, like, some weird, like, Japanese game show about cats or something. Like, that just seems like the kind of thing that she would go all in on.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, you guys don't get it. Like, let me explain to you. Yeah.
Right. And Hannah's like, I just want to watch Supermarket Sweep. Like,
yeah. Like, can we stop watching this, please? So those are kind of some of my like favorites categories. Do you have any liars favorites, or should we jump into more headcanons?
No, I was going to say like Project Runway, I think would be a big one for Hannah. I think I think Arya would probably watch that with her as well. So yeah, that would be one that I would pick. And I also think that Arya might be into some of the cooking reality shows. Maybe not Hell's Kitchen exactly, but like maybe a Master Chef or
sure,
a GBBO perhaps.
Yeah. Well, and speaking like bringing a little bit of synergy into this in terms of ABC Family / Freeform's other programming, I think Emily would really like The Fosters, because I think she'd feel like the relationship, the Steph and Lena relationship, was sort of aspirational. And I think that Hannah and Mona would both really like The Bold Type.
I totally agree with you. And I'm also going to say that Mona is the only character as a character who would, I think, watch Pretty Little Liars.
That's a really good question.
Existed in the world. Also, I'm going to say that I definitely think that Hannah and Mona would be interested in Gossip Girl. As would Arya, probably, to be honest.
Now, you don't think that Spencer would watch Pretty Little Liars?
I don't.
Interesting.
I don't think she would.
I feel like she'd be like, this show is so stupid, and then get really invested in the mystery.
Oh man, she'd be so disappointed at the end. But maybe could be.
Who knows?
Yeah, I imagine, like, I don't know. I imagine that, like, the kind of mystery shows that Spencer would be drawn to would be like, it would be more like British mysteries.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that. The kind of like The Killing maybe is one sure, that she would get church. Into. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like ones like that. I think, but that's not to say that she wouldn't be into Pretty Little Liars, but I think that Mona is the one who, to me, seems like she would be the most into it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So what are some of your headcanons?
Ooh, okay. So I feel like it's funny to have an episode that is about this, because I feel like so much of our headcanons, like things that we have always thought in our head are true about the show, it's totally informed this podcast. Like, none of our listeners are probably going to be surprised to hear that, like, my leadoff one was that, like, all of the OTPs are going to divorce. Like, the OTP that I feel like has the best chance of long-term survival is Emerson, which, thanks the perfectionist, like, is the one that the show itself was like, no.
Yeah. Yeah, that is such an interesting point, because I was kind of trying to be like, okay, what are headcanons that I have not talked about on this show? And I was kind of having to make some up a little bit.
No, I mean, I think it's okay to talk about the ones that, like, we just have always believed in and informs our feeling. Like, I don't think it's possible for Hannah and Caleb to have a successful marriage based on the contempt that he has for, like, you know, most of what she is interested in.
I completely agree.
And I don't think that it is, like, going to be long-term successful for Spencer to spend, like, all of her time trying to manage Toby's emotions and anger.
Especially in the wake of the Alex Drake of it all.
Yeah, Yeah.
Like, I really don't think that relationship can or should survive that situation.
And, like, Presra is a pedophile. So, like, I definitely think that, like, you and I are both in agreement that, like,
yeah.
he has not stopped and is not ever going to stop, like, preying on young women. And that, like, his marriage to Arya is just going to be, like, you know, basically a beard type situation yeah. that's going to allow him to be, like, oh, an upstanding family man here in the community, while he's, like, hitting on, you know, the new baristas who are working at the brew.
I agree. Which couple do you think divorces, putting aside the perfectionist, which couple do you think divorces first?
Oh, what a good question. I'm gonna say Hannah and Caleb, probably. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think that Arya is gonna stick it out the longest. I think Arya is gonna stick it out until it's like proven beyond a reasonable doubt of what Presra is up to. And so I think, yeah, and then I think that like Spencer and Toby would be somewhere in the middle. I honestly hope that Spencer and Toby would decide not to get married. But if they did, I think that they would last marginally longer than Caleb, only because Caleb got married first.
Well, and Caleb seem like they're on their way to a breakup by the finale. I mean, there's just so much, like you said, so much contempt and unhappiness in their marriage so quickly, you know?
Well, and Hannah is like talking about having a baby, which reads to me as like one of those, let's have a baby because that will keep us together, which is like insanely a thing that people do. And which I feel like at least in my circle of people that I ever know who have tried that has a 0% success rate.
Yes. Especially because they're like 23 years old, I think by the finale, 23, 24. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So one of my headcanons, as a shock to no one, is that Mike Montgomery is gay.
Right, right.
Also that Noel Kahn is bisexual.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
And while we're just ticking through various sexualities of various characters, I think that both Melissa and Mona are lesbians. I think that their relationships with men are pretty much entirely facade, like just, you know, kind of coverage, insurance, compulsory, whatever you want to call it. And I hope that both of them would eventually come to recognize that.
Nice. Yeah, I think that Noel probably was involved with both Mike Montgomery and Hannah's boyfriend, Sean. So.
Absolutely. And Arya's fake boyfriend, Holden, who is also obviously gay. Like, that's very clear. While we're talking about Noel, I think that he and Allie hooked up at some point, like when they were pretty young.
Complete agreement.
I also think, I don't think the show ever made this explicit, but I think that Shauna and Allie hooked up.
Oh, yes, I definitely agree. I think that Noel hooks up with bisexual women frequently.
Yes.
We believe he hooked up with Allie. We know that he dated Jenna. We know that he dated Mona. Whether, you know, queer women. He dates queer women.
Yes.
Kind of his thing.
I think an argument could be made that Noel, like, Noel hooks up with more characters than any other character on the show.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Which I love that for him. That feels accurate for him. I also think that Allie and Emily hooked up during the time jump.
Oh my gosh, yes. I would go to the mattress on that one. Also, when you were saying about Shauna and Allie, I feel like I don't know why the show didn't ever make that explicit. Like, Shauna was obviously like, why else was she going to all these lengths for Allie if it wasn't because she was still carrying a torch for her? Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And Melissa and Cece. I mean, I think let's talk about Melissa and Cece a little bit, because I know this was the only item that I think was on both of our lists, that they are the true OTP.
They belong together. Yes. I feel like there's just not anybody else in the world of the show who is like smart enough. Like they are like a great match just in terms of their intellect, in terms of their you know, generally skewed sense of ethics and moral. I feel like they are an OTP.
And I also just feel like I agree with that completely. And I also feel like there's so much unexplored history between the two of them that the show was always sort of hinting at. And I don't know. I think Melissa is one of those characters who makes a lot more sense if you read her as queer in some way. I think so many of her actions and even her friction with Spencer makes more sense if you read them as like these two closeted queer girls stuck in this sort of conservative family. And I think I also like the symmetry of the idea of like the sort of generation of older sisters being involved with one another. It makes a lot of sense to me.
And like when you just think of their interactions on the show, like everything is always so shrouded in mystery and unexplained.
Yes.
And I love the explanation just being that they were hooking up. Like, what were they talking about the night that they were confronting each other when Allie went missing? Like,
yeah,
you know, maybe Melissa was upset about the Jason stuff. Maybe, you know, what were they doing together at Cape May? Like, when you think about all of the, we talked about the rogues gallery of like dudes that the show has tried to hook Spencer up with. Worse than that are like the parade the parade of just dreadful dudes that they've tried to put Melissa with. And it just never works.
Well, the other thing that I like about the idea of Melissa and Cece together and really related to what you were saying about sort of the shrouding of all the mystery is like they are two characters who occasionally it just feels like they exist for the sake of the mystery and for the sake of like seeming suspicious. And I love the idea that the explanation or an explanation is sort of simple and yet also gives both characters a lot more depth if we think of them as potentially being a couple. I just think that it would be a really interesting twist. I don't think the show would have handled it terribly well, but I think it would have been a great element for those characters.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I'll also just say, like, when you say, like, the show wouldn't have handled it tremendously well, like, we have talked at length, like, especially through, like, the horrors of season 6, of the way that the show handled the transgender reveal. And I've really got to say, like, not only has it not aged well, but it's aging worse every day. Like, every day in our current climate where there's, like, more and more transphobia and more violence being directed at the transgender community, I really feel like I hope that looking back, Marlene would make different choices. I don't know that she would, but I really feel like every day we are seeing like what comes of dehumanizing, dehumanizing like our trans brothers and sisters and our, you know, like it just.
Yeah. Not only dehumanizing, but vilifying.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I would completely agree. I will add, though, one more little Meesy detail that I quite like is that the dollhouse prom theme, they make a point of saying it was the year that Melissa was at prom.
Yes.
Which I think is great. Yeah.
Love that for them.
One more Cece headcanon. I think she was the one who pushed the girl down the stairs. I know the official ruling via Hannah's green face is that it was Noel. But I think it was Cece. That feels more like a Cece move to me than a Noel move.
Yeah, I love it being Cece. I do agree with that. I definitely have a fic where Cece pushes the girl down the stairs because
you do.
Because Ian was like hooking up with her and Melissa wanted her out of the way. So Cece,
yes,
it's kind of one of her one of her maneuvers that she does. But yeah, I definitely like Cece. I think that there's like an argument to be made that that girl just fell down the stairs because she was drunk.
Because she was drunk. You know? Because it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, the image, this is like a very specific image that I have in my head, but the episode of Sex and the City where they're at the black and white ball and Samantha finds out that Richard has been sleeping with this woman, there's this great moment where, like, Samantha walks up behind the woman and, like, grabs her by the hair and just kind of keeps walking. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And the woman's, like, you know, yelping. I feel like it played out very much the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. I could definitely see that.
I have a couple of Byron headcanons.
Tell us.
Yeah. One is that I think that Byron and Prezra stayed in touch during the time jump. And I think that Byron sort of has always harbored a little bit of a crush on Mr. Fitz. I also think that Byron totally creeped on Allison. The show kind of hinted at it and then, like, totally backpedaled. But I think that given Byron's track record and given, again, the weird mystery that all of that was shrouded in, I think that Byron was creepy to Allison.
I definitely agree with that. Well, we know that he paid her hush money. So
yes.
Yeah, I think that he definitely creeped on Allison. I think that's how Allison kind of knew what was going on with him. I don't think it's an accident that she and Aria just walked down that alley where he happened to like to park with women who weren't his wife. Yeah, I would completely agree with that. I would also say that Meredith was not his first affair.
No.
I mean, I think anyone who believes that is just like Aria. But yeah, I don't think that Meredith was his first affair. I don't think that Meredith was his last affair.
I also think that it adds another layer to Allie encouraging Aria to trash Byron's office.
And how earrings got in his couch. Yes.
All of that. Absolutely. I also, this is random. I think that Ashley Marin has had more than a few sex dreams about Caleb.
Ooh, that is like, oh, that's alarming. But yes,
Not that she'd ever act on them. I think it's always been a thing where, like, she's, like, had her box of wine, she falls asleep, she has some, like, weird steamy sex dream about Caleb, she wakes up and she's like, oh, we were hitting the wine a little hard last night. Like, I need a church.
I do imagine that, after Hannah is out of the house and once she is dispensed with the Pastor Ted situation, I do like the idea of Ashley kind of dating a lot of younger guys and being a little bit of a cougar.
I like that a lot. I like that too. I have some more, but I want to hear more of your headcanons.
Let's see. Oh, well, we've talked about this one a lot, probably on the podcast, but Emily being kind of a Lothario during.
Yes.
Like Emily using her work at the bar to like really be going home with a lot of different women. We don't really know what her time jump life was like because, of course, the show never shows us anything about it. But especially after the death of her dad, I imagine Emily really, really just running through a lot of different girls. Like, not even in, like, the serial monogamy way that we generally see her doing it on the show, but just, like, you know, just, like, whoever's there that night, whoever looks cute. Emily doesn't want to go home alone to her house, so she's going to pick someone to be going home with.
Yeah, that tracks for me. And again, it's like the weird sort of chastity of Emily during the time jump where it's like she doesn't get to be a Lothario because gay people don't get to have sex anymore, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. But I agree with that.
Yeah. I also think like, so we kind of know or we kind of don't know, like Paige and Emily were maybe together for part of the time jump or maybe weren't. I think whatever happened with them, even though Paige shows back up and it's like, oh, you know, they're kind of back in this will they, won't they routine. I think that them getting back together in whatever form they were or weren't back together, I kind of imagine Emily leaving in that situation being like extra cruel. I kind of imagine Emily like sort of ghosting on their more serious adult relationship, and or just like, you know, maybe like leaving a note after she's moved out. I don't think that Emily handles like conflict super well or relationship conflict super well.
I mean, we could call that move pulling a Caleb because that's kind of Caleb's move. I think that's probably how Emily handled that breakup.
Agreed.
Yeah. What else? Tell me what else you got.
That Allison, that like a ton of Allison's like character is driven by internalized biphobia. That a lot of her actions, like in the early years, and also a lot of her actions in the later seasons, are like her kind of trying to force herself to conform to like how she thinks that like her parents and or society want her to be. And I think like when she is a young teenager, that manifests in like she's going to be a mean girl who enforces these norms on other people.
For sure.
Like CF, her whole thing with Emily. And then when she's like, you know, more of an adult, I think we see that manifesting as her like determination to be this like, you know, kind of like Stepford wife.
I think that that's really true. I also kind of like that as a way to explain the sort of Hausfrau Alley persona a little bit. I think this doesn't really count as a headcanon. Maybe it's just more like analysis. But to me, one of the super interesting things sort of about Allison, about Cece, about Hannah, is like we learn that Allison shaped a lot of her personality around Cece, this older friend of hers who she idolized and kind of wanted to emulate. And eventually we will learn that Cece basically constructed, that Charlotte basically constructed the Cece persona to, like, specifically designed it for Allison, like, to be interesting to Allison. And then you take it that layer further of Mona was obsessed with that Allie persona and crafted Hannah, you know, in her image.
Yeah.
And it's like this copy of a copy of a copy thing. It's just like this like Mobius strip of identity. And to me, that like that kind of identity work is like the best. Those are like the best parts of PLL, the most interesting. Like that's, you know, I can take or leave the mystery a lot of the time. But like that to me is like that stuff I find so fascinating. So again, I don't know if that counts as a headcanon. I just wanted to say it because I think it's like something that gets kind of lost, especially as like we become further disenchanted with Allison and Hannah.
Sure.
But I do think that like that the core of that is really fascinating.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. Now I'm gonna see your Byron headcanons and I'm gonna tell you some Tom Marin inconsequential headcanons that I have. One of my favorites is that Tom is secretly poor. That he's like running, that his company is like a Ponzi scheme, or he's like embezzling funds from it or whatever, because he won't give Hannah money for college, which seems really sketch based on how much money we're supposed to believe he generally has. So yeah, I think that Tom Marin is secretly poor. I also think that he will eventually try to come back to Ashley, probably after his marriage to Isabel ends, probably after his third marriage to whomever is out there ends. I definitely think that he is going to repeatedly try to come back to Ashley. I think of like the scene in The Sopranos where the shrink says to Tony, like, you've made one good choice in your life vis-a-vis women. And that's, you know, that's his marriage. And I feel like Tom Marin made one good choice in his life, and that was marrying Ashley. And like losing that is going to like haunt him the older and the more alone he gets, especially if he's secretly poor.
Right. Because like Ashley is going to be this, you know, like hotel magnate. And he's going to be like, okay, not only do I miss Ashley Marin because she's the best, but also she is like a millionaire now.
Yeah. And she's like the only one who wanted him for him and not for like, you know, what he could financially offer them.
I think related to that, I will add that I think that there's a lot more substance abuse in this show than is ever acknowledged. And I think that we see that playing out in Ashley and Tom, and that it's, they were very much enabling each other whenever they were together.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great point. And going off of that headcanons, you know, Jason as an alcoholic. I think we've talked before about Peter Hastings definitely being an alcoholic. And I will also say that I think that Peter Hastings is written as a sex addict as well.
Yeah, I could definitely see that for sure. Yeah, I like that. I mean, I don't like that because, like, ooh, gross Peter Hastings, but I like that headcanon. Not gross Peter Hastings, just Peter Hastings is a troubled.
His personality is prone to addictions of various types. And I definitely think that, like, he and possibly Veronica have done cocaine together at some fancy lawyer parties in their past.
For sure. I think an argument, I don't believe this in, like, my deepest, like, this isn't, like, a huge conviction that I have, but I can see an argument for it, that part of why their marriage has worked is that Veronica herself is gay, and that it's, you know, it's convenient and it looks good for them to stay married. And it's a lot easier if he's just sleeping with other women and they can just be together and kind of, you know, keep the family together, keep the business together, that kind of thing.
Oh, this is what we've joked before about her sleeping with her law partner. but yeah, I actually think that, that makes a lot of sense for why the Hastings continue to exist in the way that they do.
Yeah. And why, like, Veronica never seems that bent out of shape about the affairs. You know, it's much more the scandal aspect than the affair itself. Yeah.
Do you think he ever tried to get a threesome going between Veronica and Jessica?
Oh, for sure. And I think Veronica was like, hell no. And I think Jessica was like, well, no, I think Jessica was also like, hell no. But I think Mary Drake was like, I'd be open to it.
Remember when Jessica shows up in the Hastings house wanting Veronica to donate to her, like, wedding dress charity event?
Yes. Yes, I do. And Jessica's like, she's just going to go write a check. And then Veronica does exactly that. Yeah. Yeah.
Love that for them.
Love that for them, too.
All right. So let's see. What other? Oh, and then another one that I have that I don't really know that if we talked about this on the podcast or not, but I think that Pam's OTP is Barry Maple.
Pam Barry for life. I love them. We are the only two shippers of Pam and Barry, and that is okay.
It is. It is totally okay.
But what is it that you like about Pam and Barry?
Okay, so I like Pam getting to have a partner who is present. I think that they have quite a bit in common. They both worked for the police department. They're both, like, you know, pretty involved in the Rosewood community. We know that she, you know, she was married to Wayne, who was in the Army. We know that she then dated Frank, who I think is a firefighter. I think that comes up at some point. So, like, Barry being, you know, in the PD, it seems like that kind of goes along with just the type that Pam has.
Yeah, I agree. Also, their ship name would be Bam, which is a great ship name. I think also I like the idea that this is maybe more of a Barry headcanon, that he's sort of trying to, like, take down the Rosewood PD from the inside. Like, he sees that it's, like, really a screwed up situation. And he's like, okay, I'm going to try to, like, do some good in this mess of, like, corrupt cops.
Yes. Yes, I agree. He's like, there is that deleted scene where he lets Charlotte get away, I think. But, like, overall, like, within the scenes that are the actual scenes of the show, he seems like he is one of the good cops.
Yeah, he really does. This is a random headcanon. I think that Emily, Hannah, Allie, and Spencer have a text thread where they talk about Arya's outfits and how much they hate this. It's the what the fuck was she wearing? What the fuck did Fitz do? Text thread.
Oh man, yeah, and I'm gonna have to say that I think that thread was started by Allie.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah, it was, and maybe Allie started it to talk about Fitz, and Hannah was like, okay, but hang on, everybody, we'll have to talk about the leggings Arya was wearing.
Yeah, I think that can be. I think that Spencer never says anything mean about Arya's outfits, but she does get in on the Fitz hate.
I think that Emily is like the most hesitant to join in, but like if she's had a few, I think Emily is able to kind of like get into that headspace a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. Emily probably has that thread muted. Like she doesn't want it
she
to
does.
Like, alert on her phone, but she'll look at it. She'll check in on it.
Speaking of which, I have a couple of random Emily headcanons. I think that Emily hates being a passenger in someone else's car, because I think we see that Emily really likes to be, like, physically in control, and especially after the whole GPS disaster, I think, like, being under someone else's control in a car, I think, makes her really nervous. I also think that she never runs at night. I think that as an adult, when Hannah is feeling kind of homesick, she'll still go to secondhand stores and like buy a bunch of stuff and like make new outfits with them. And I think it makes her feel closer to home. I think that Spencer has a major sweet tooth. And I think that none of the liars like to actually genuinely like to cook except for Aria.
I think that Allie might like to cook. Potentially, or baking. I guess I have Allie baking a lot of the time.
Allie baking, interesting.
I think it's part of the Hausfrau thing. It's kind of like a yeah. normal people hobby that she might take up. I definitely think that Hannah lives on takeout in New York. Like that's just kind of obvious. Emily, I feel like probably subsists on like a lot of like, you know, she's like. An athlete, she works out a lot, but I imagine she eats a lot of processed food, like ramen and, you know, like just kind of heat meat kind of stuff.
I also think it's a lot of like green drinks and things like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think that Spencer, like we know that Spencer knows how to cook and like is a good cook, but I don't think she really enjoys cooking. I think she would find it to be kind of a waste of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and keep in mind that like the Hastings had a cook for at least one episode, so
yes, yeah for sure. Anything else that you have? What are some other headcanons that you've got?
I think we've really covered a lot of it. One of the big ones, which we did like a whole episode on previously, but Spencer is queer. Like that
ding ding ding.
That almost goes without saying, but it should be said anyway. Like that Spencer's kind of lukewarm interest in the rogues gallery of boys that they're always sending her way. And like her relationship with Toby, I feel like kind of fits what you were saying about Veronica and Peter. Like,
yeah.
it's just like less questions if she has a boyfriend. And so Toby, who's like hardly ever around and is often just kind of mad at her, is like as good a person to be standing next to her as anyone.
I completely agree. And I think that, yeah, he's the guy she wants to want, you know,
yeah.
It's very much that kind of situation. And I think that like Spencer, you know, when we were talking about last week, we were talking about like the liars and Taylor Swift. And I think I talked about the song Cowboy Like Me for Spencer. I feel like that's Spencer's like, that's what she thinks she and Toby have. She thinks it's like, oh, we're sort of these two lost souls who found each other. That's what the show is often trying to communicate to us is happening. But I think that in actuality, like, they don't really like each other or really have much in common at all. I think it's the idea of him is more appealing than the actual guy, which is a huge part of compulsory heterosexuality.
Yes, yes. So here's a question for you. At the point that we are in the show right now,
yes.
Spaleb has broken up,
yeah,
and the Haleb reunion is on. So your headcanon, at this point, have Spaleb had sex together for the last time?
Oh, no, not at all. I had to do the math on that for a second, but no, I think that in like the darkest timeline, they full on have an affair while Haleb are still married. I think in like a less dark timeline, they like she takes him out for a beer after the divorce and they fall into bed together. Mm-hmm. But I will also say, I think that Spanna have not had sex yet, but will.
I like that for them for sure.
Yeah, yeah. What's your headcanon of how the next Spaleb hookup would play out?
Oh, I agree with what you said regarding, like, just it seems like it. And I think we even talked about that, or like maybe it was on the Bros podcast, like, in towards the final stretch of episodes, at one point, like, Spencer and Caleb are investigating the Radley tunnels, and yeah, they kind of have like this, like, I don't want to say like a flirty interaction really, but they have like a banter between them. This, like, you just get the feeling like these are two people who are definitely going to have an affair. Like,
yes,
their relationship never really came to a normal conclusion. And like, the problems that Caleb have always had are still there. They're just like less prominent because she's not working in fashion.
Well, and I also think, you know, behind the scenes a little bit, like, Ashley Benson is so checked out at that point that the chemistry between Troyan and Tyler is just like, feels so much more magnetic.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really true. Do you have any more headcanons like specific to kind of the era that we're in right now?
Oh, what a good question. Oh, well, I mean, I like to think that Charlotte is alive, and it just it has not yet been revealed on the show.
Yeah, I like that too. I would like to think that there is a version of reality where Mary Drake and Spencer could maybe not have a functional relationship, but like come to some kind of understanding or something. I think the Mary Drake twist obviously is like very dumb, but I actually like the connection between Mary Drake and Spencer. I sort of like Mary Drake as almost this like dark mirror version of Spencer a little bit. I don't feel that same way about Alex Drake, because I think that they took that like way too literally with that. And I just think Alex Drake is like a stupid character all around. But I would like to believe that there's like some connection maybe that could happen with Mary and Spencer at some point.
You know, I would like Spencer to have like more, I wish Spencer like would end with better family. Like, I do feel like she and Jason would get closer in adulthood.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can see that.
Oh, I'll put this too as a headcanon. I think that Jason and Arya would get together at some point down the line.
Oh, like, I love that.
Divorce.
Yeah. I really like that idea for them a lot.
Yeah.
I also think that Arya would spend like a good amount of time like in her like post-divorce years. I think that Arya would spend a good chunk of time alone, because I think, yes, like she hasn't really gotten that. Like, she hasn't really gotten the experience of like trying to figure out like who she is outside of the Fitz relationship. Like, even when she's not in it, she still is in it, kind of.
Yeah.
So I feel like that is something that I think about for her.
I also think that Byron and Ella would get a second divorce.
Yes, I totally agree. I totally agree.
Yeah, I feel strongly about that.
Yeah, you just know that's not going to
work. It's not going to work, because like their reasons for getting remarried were so like flimsy and sad, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I feel like we've had a really good mixture of like silly, light, frothy headcanons and like actual, you know, deep like character, you know, character specific headcanons.
We have. I do have a couple of questions that I'm going to throw to you before we're done.
Please do.
So who is your, does Mona in your headcanon have an OTP? And if so, who is it?
I mean, here's my thing. With PLL, I am a tried and true multi-shipper. Like, mm-hmm, there is really not a single ship. I, like, anti-ship certain things. Like, I'm never going to ship Prezria, you know? But, like, I can see arguments for pretty much any arrangement, particularly of, like, the core six ladies.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can see arguments for, like, a Mona Spencer OTP. I can see arguments, especially, like, after the Perfectionist, for, like, a Mona Allison OTP. But I think in my heart of hearts, if I'm going to put Mona with one character, it's got to be Hannah.
Okay.
Okay. What about you?
It's so hard. I too, like, lean Hannah on that.
Yeah.
But also, you've, like, really gotten me into Spanna. So I feel like, if Spanna happens, where does that leave Mona? Mona Allison from The Perfectionists. I think that's a good one. You've also done some Mona Melissa, which I think is, like, a fascinating pairing. I think it's just interesting. I feel like Mona does not have, like, one OTP in the way that some of the other characters feel like they might.
I would agree with that. So I'm going to expand that question and ask you, like, if you had to, like, of the core six, mm-hmm. if you had to pick an OTP for each one,
ooh,
what would it be?
All right, you know what? I'm going to say that for Emily and Allison, it is Emerson, going out the way I came in as an Emerson person. So I'm going to go for them. You know what I'm going to do? Here's what I'm going to do to solve the Mona conundrum. I'm going to say Vandermeer is the OTP. And then I'm going to say that for Spencer, it's McHastings. Spencer and Paige get together. Now that leaves Arya. So I guess I'm going to say Arya and Jason.
Okay. Back up
if I want to just make everybody queer, I'm going to say Arya Jenna.
Oh, Arya Jenna. Okay. So Sparia doesn't get it at all in your version.
You know what? I could not, like, tell you why, but, like, of all of the, like, you know, PLL pairings, I find Sparia to be, like, it just engages me the least. I really don't know why. Like, I like them together. I think they're cute and stuff, but it just, it's not, it doesn't hook my imagination the way that a lot of the other ones do.
Interesting. Yeah, when I think about Sparia, I usually think of it as more of a one-sided Spencer being in love with Arya situation
mm-hmm.
than I think about Arya being in love with Spencer. Although I think that is very interesting. I love that, like, years into this podcast, you're coming out as not shipping Sparia. Like, I feel like this.
Yeah, so I guess that's never. Moment. I guess we've really never talked about that before. But yeah, I'm not super into them.
Wow. I think a thousand listeners' hearts just broke.
I mean, I'm not, like, against them.
I get it.
I'm not going to start, like, a tag, like, Sparia is not a love story. They are.
Yes.
They're just not mine. I don't know why.
Yeah. No, I get that. I totally get it.
I shouldn't say that. Like, I've written, like, a couple stories that had Sparia in it. It's just not one of my, like, in my heart of hearts, not one of my top choices.
I get it. I totally get it. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I would say Presria is the pairing that I could never get behind.
Agreed.
And I would also, so in order of, like, I could never get behind it, like, number one, Presria, probably number two is Spobie. And then number three is Haleb, because I did like Haleb during, like, the beginning era. So I kind of feel like if they could get back to Caleb being that version of himself, I feel like, there would be some hope there.
I agree. And I think that there's, like, the antagonism when they initially met always had this undercurrent of real affection. Mm-hmm. And I think that what they lost was the affection.
Yeah.
And it was, like, just antagonism.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Okay, so here's a question. If you had to ship Spencer with a guy, who would you ship her with?
Caleb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same for you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to think, like, if not Caleb, like, is there anybody else? And I was thinking, like, I could kind of ship her. This was, like, my thought process. Like, I could ship her with Noel and Jenna during the on-game episode. But I was like, no, that's not, like, just the dude. So I was like, And I was like, well, even with Caleb, I would prefer to ship her with, like, Caleb and Hannah. And I was like, it's not the same. So, yeah, I maybe, oh, here we go. Maybe I could ship her with Holden and Arya. And Caleb.
Alternatively, I like a version where, like, she, like, seduces Prezra and then kills him.
Oh! Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, I think that could be a lot of fun.
I mean, I feel like that would be something that Allison could also do, so...
Yes, I picture it very much like Neil Patrick Harris's demise in Gone Girl.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Any more questions?
Okay, so we talked about Mona. We talked about if you had to ship Spencer with a dude. Yeah, this is one, and we kind of have talked about this. What are some of your, like, what are your thoughts about Ashley Marin's past? Like, Ashley Marin's youth, which we've often, like, heard was kind of hardscrabble, but we don't really know details on.
That's a great question. I think that Ashley grew up with not a lot of money. I suspect that there was sexual abuse in her past, just based on... just certain comments that she's made and some of her dealings, like with Wilden and with Tom. I think that she was in a situation where she had to leave home pretty, pretty quickly and kind of, you know, a bit of an emergency kind of situation. Like something was bad at home. I wouldn't be surprised if there was some maybe addiction in the home. And I think that she, like, I really like the idea that, because we have seen that Tom's mother and Ashley have a really good relationship. And I kind of think that Tom and Ashley, like, it might have been a situation where they met when they were fairly young. And maybe Ashley was, like, drawn to Tom, you know, and he was sexy and he was, you know, all of those things. But I really like the idea that it was like a huge draw of that relationship was Regina and this sort of sense of like finally having a mother figure. And that, you know, Ashley may have had other women or men, just other people in her life who kind of were those surrogate parent figures that she might not have grown up with. And that that was part of why she did feel so connected with Caleb, because, you know, she sort of got the chance to kind of pay that forward a little bit.
Okay, so next question. This is kind of a bummer of one, but what does the darkest timeline look like for each of the
players? Oh God.
I wrote like a whole story that was like the darkest timeline of Spencer. Which I think like is essentially like Spencer becomes the thing that she feared. Like Spencer kind of becomes an A-like figure as she spirals into like addiction and behaviors that she can't 100% control. But like, what are some of your takes?
I mean, that what you wrote was like such a good take on that. This is slouching toward Bethlehem, by the way. And so, but I'm going to try to go in a different direction just for the sake of diversity. So I think like a situation where Spencer basically ended up in her parents' marriage would be a pretty dark timeline for her. If she, you know, ended up marrying some like slick politician who was, you know, cheating on her and didn't really respect her. And she was basically just like a politician's wife and didn't really get to have a career of her own. And was expected to just like pump out babies. Like, I think that would be a pretty dark timeline for Spencer. And I think in a situation like that, she would be heavily medicating with drugs and alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. She like would almost turn into the Jessica.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It would be very much like a Jessica De Laurentiis situation. I think for Arya, this is trigger warning. Like this is dark. I think it would be a situation where she was essentially enabling Prezra's abuse of younger girls.
Yeah, I agree, because she can't face it herself. And so she like is making excuses and providing alibis and not knocking on the door when he's like down. Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe even, you know, funneling girls to him to sort of keep him satisfied. I mean, I don't think Arya would actually do that, but like, I do
the darkest timeline.
The darkest timeline. If we're talking about the darkest timeline, I think something like that could happen.
Oof, yeah.
I think for Hannah, it would probably be related to her eating disorder. Like if she kind of kept going in the fashion industry and was feeling a lot of that pressure and just like really spiraled into an eating disorder and like, you know, just sort of kind of cut herself off from everybody. Mm-hmm. And essentially became like a Claudia type figure. You know, just very, very alone, very mean, very the sort of like, you know, ultimate version of like New York Hannah. And then Emily, I mean, I think there's a few ways she could go. I think one would be like if she joined the army, which is something that you've talked about. And just, you know, if she like, I could see her putting her sort of intentionally putting herself in like dangerous situations and maybe ending up getting really seriously injured or perhaps killed. I could also just see her having like kind of being like a Shane from the L Word a little bit and just like going from meaningless relationship to meaningless relationship and just like cutting anything off when feelings got involved, and just sort of like leaving a trail of broken hearts behind her.
My darkest timeline version of Emily tells Allison that she is going to join the army and leaves and then like does not get to join the army because she fails the psychological tests.
Ooh.
And she just stays gone. Like she just like goes to like do something else in a different city and like doesn't really tell Allison. Like, you know, I feel like that is the darkest timeline version of Emily.
I agree. Allie, I mean, God, I sort of feel like Allie, like the darkest timeline is like the whole marriage to Rollins Wolf situation. I think she kind of lived her darkest timeline.
Yeah, I agree. I think we should let that stand as Allison's darkest timeline.
And I actually think Mona kind of ends up in her darkest timeline, too. Like, I think the way the show leaves Mona is in a very dark place. I guess a darker version of that would be that she ended up getting committed again and just, like, never got out, you know? I think the darkest timeline of Mona would be if she was in a situation where she got committed and was just, like, in a drugged out state for the rest of her life, like, when she first got to Radley.
Oof, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was a fun note to. What about you? Do you have any like? Would you expand on any of the things that I said, or have different?
No, I think yours are really good. I think they dovetail nicely with kind of what I would think of. I felt like when you were talking about Hannah, I was like, I don't know if I have a darkest timeline for Hannah. I just want good things for her so wholeheartedly. But I feel like. The happiest timeline is the OTPs that we have discussed, the queer OTPs that we want to bring like exceptional happiness to all of the liars.
I would say another element of darkest timeline would be that Prezra becomes the school counselor at Rosewood High.
Oh my goodness. Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so I'll say like best timeline, like best imaginary future. I would have to say that like, the Me Too movement sweeps through Rosewood.
Yes.
And there's just a wholesale cleaning out of like the city government, the high school, the police department, et cetera, leaving like Dr. Sullivan and Barry Maple in charge.
Yes. I like that a lot. I like the idea. I like the idea that like the liars could kind of like enact change in Rosewood and then leave Rosewood. Like, I actually think in some ways the darkest timeline for all of them is that they never leave Rosewood.
Ooh, I love that. I love that
yeah.
idea.
And I think the best timeline is that they get out, but that they're still able to maintain their relationships with one another.
Yeah. I agree.
That's what I want for our liars. Well, this was, we really ran the gamut.
That was a good time. Ugly.
Yeah, exactly. We would love to hear if you have any headcanons or any like details that you want us to discuss maybe in the future about the liars. You can, of course, always send us an email, everybodyapodcast@gmail.com. You can check out our Instagram at Everybody A Podcast. You can check out our Spotify, Everybody A, Everybody Gay. You can also leave a rating and review on iTunes. We would appreciate it. We are going to keep rolling out the bonus content kind of through the holidays. So we hope, we are glad you're along for the ride. We're sure having fun. And until next time.
Till then, take care.